February 19th, 2024. Have I committed the unforgivable sin? Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blaspheme will be forgiven people. But the blaspheme against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Matthew 12:31-32. The rejection of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Pharisees had willfully rejected the acts in front of them. They said that they were from Satan and not from God. In the big picture, we all know God is a forgiving God. We have seen this clearly as we have moved our way through Matthew. We would also see this if we explored the rest of Scripture. God forgives sins. This is true. This is redemption. But with this, we see that the people in front of him are completely against him, and he warns them about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Why? They are slandering the Son of God to his face. It's important to remember that. It's important to remember that what flows from the lips is from the heart. What we say is closely related to our heart's condition. But many men have done this and have been forgiven. They blasphemed. So what's the difference? Paul himself says he was a blasphemer. So what is so significant about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Why is this unforgivable? Why the warning? Well, if a man sets himself fully against the only one who can bring him to repentance, then he has no hope for forgiveness, does he? If you and I consistently refuse to submit, no matter what we see or hear, no matter the evidence, this will lead to ultimate denial. The gospel is heard and then repeatedly rejected by men, which causes a hardening of the heart. It's unforgivable because they are unwilling to accept pardon in turn from their sin. A sinful person is more hopeful than a man with a calloused heart toward the Spirit of God. The man who sits in church and consistently hears and feels the nudging of the Spirit, yet constantly resist, will grow numb. Over time, he will grow numb. He hears, "Repent! Christ died for you! Repent!" And he says, "Nah, I don't need that. I'm here because my wife." When this happens over and over, his heart grows more and more calloused. This is the unforgivable man. If we reject the Spirit, if we count him as a devil, if we reject his pointing to us to his Son, or to the Son, we will find ourselves one day feeling nothing. No more nudges, no more urging from a message in our heart, no more guilt rising as a warning in our hearts. It will be silent. All of it will be silent. We will hear the gospel and we will feel nothing. We will hate it. This is a warning of immense, immense importance, especially for men and women like Americans who sit in the pews week in and week out. They are hearing and they are hearing, yet they keep saying, "Nope." They murmur inwardly of how stupid it is. They murmur that this is a cult. They murmur that they should have stayed in bed. They look around and think, "Look at these suckers. Don't they know they just want their money?" They hear the gospel and they feel nothing. And when they do feel it, they have hardened their hearts so much that they have grown calloused. The hearts are harder and harder the longer this progresses. And then one day, The last offer from the Spirit comes, and they finally and fully reject him one last time. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is complete rejection. It makes excuses and slanders the work of God and rejects it into hopelessness. That's what we're seeing from these Pharisees. They have embittered their heart and hardened it so much, so intensely, that they can stand there and say, "You are not of God. No matter what you have done or say or are doing, we do not believe you are from God." Hopeless. They're hopeless. They have no hope of repentance because the one who brings repentance, they reject. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's the warning. So the natural question is, well, have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? Have I committed the unforgivable sin that everyone talks about? Am I unforgivable? Well, here's some courage for you, some encouragement. If you are asking this question, the answer is probably no. A man who ends up in this position will no longer be concerned. A hardened heart has no room for self-consideration in spiritual matters. This isn't you just thinking a bad thought about Jesus or the Holy Spirit. That is blasphemy, but this isn't what it's talking about. This is full force rejection to the point of no return. The lesson and urge today is to answer the urging of the Spirit. Stop rejecting Him. Stop rejecting His truth. Stop being casual about your commitment to Him. Grow affections for Christ. Love Christ. If you constantly reject Christ, you are going to one day wake up and feel nothing. This is slowly putting a hard cover over your heart that will one day make all urging to stop. No more. There will be no more urging. If you feel the Spirit nudge, if you hear a gospel message, if you're going to church, if you're reading your Bible, if you have people that love you and they're telling you, repent, turn to Christ, then you need to respond. If you keep rejecting it, you will end up hopeless. Submit with humble repentance. You don't know when you're going to die. You have no idea. This is urgent. Do not put this off before you become so callous that you feel nothing. And then my loved one is to the point of no return. I know it. To this, I say, don't assume to know the condition of a man or woman's heart. God sees your loved one's heart. We have read a few times that Christ knew their thoughts. We can't read hearts or thoughts, and we can't conclude such things about them. Our job is to keep living a Christ-exalting life and keep praying that they may come to Christ, that they will no longer resist, that their hard heart will become a heart of flesh. Listen, God is very patient. Some people even think He's slow because He's so patient. That's what Peter says. He is very compassionate. We have seen this constantly through His actions towards the people in Matthew. We see Him healing, we see Him teaching, we see Him urging people to come to Him, to take His yoke upon them because He cares for them. We see Him seeing them as shepherdless. We see his compassion and love, and we see him giving answer and answer and answer, and then we see him dying on the cross later. The only time for you and I to give up on our loved ones is when they die, when it's no longer possible for them to repent. Until then, we must keep fighting. And with this, we must have a happy Monday.